Amen. So we've been plotting through the vision of the church, and we literally have done one of the four in the last 4 weeks. So, but we did love. We talked about how God loves us. That God is love, and He loves us, and we love Him back. And then in turn, by loving God, we love others, right? So we went through. So that's my review of the last 4 weeks, right there. But now I want to turn our attention to our second real foundational truths of this church, and it's this idea of passion. Everybody say passion. Passion. Passion has a lot of different definitions, but I thought I would do something a little fun this morning, and I would share some things that I personally am kind of passionate about. And so I brought this little goodie bag of stuff that I, so there's no telling what's in this bag, this box. Yeah, there really is. Y'all kind of could tell. But first of all, I just want to say that, that one of the first things I'm passionate about is I am very passionate about our sports teams here in the ATL. So I am passionate about our Braves, believing for another back-to-back World Series. Come on. Come on. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good, right? So I am a big, huge fan of the Braves. I'm also a big fan, as you know, a lot of you know, of the Hawks, of the Falcons, right? So here's my Falcons golf driver head, of course. Yep, that explains a lot, right? So this also says I don't know how passionate I really am about golf, right? Because of how not very good I am at golf. And actually, I'm going to stop right here because I just noticed. And I'm going to ask, I want to ask Kathy and you guys to come on. Will y'all come up? We just want to pray for you guys. Is that okay? Or let me just come back there. How about if I just come back there? Okay. Kathy, this family lost their grandfather this week, and Kathy has been the main caregiver for her grandfather for the last 11 years. It's been a long time, and very difficult what's going on. And let me just, before everybody, Kathy, honor you for all of your service out of love to your grandfather and what you've done for him over some very difficult times. And we just want to honor you and salute you guys. And so let me just grab you guys' hands. Let's just reach your hands back here. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray for this family. God, I thank you, Father, for what this family means to our church. And God, I pray your comfort. Holy Spirit, you are the great comforter. And so, Father, I just pray, God, that you would just comfort this family, bring peace. And God, I pray, God, for all of the future, like the arrangements and all of this stuff that they have to do. God, I pray that you would be with them in a real, tangible way by your great Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, God. We honor these guys for service to you. We thank you, God, for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy, Tony, Katie, we love you guys. We love you guys. Amen. So just remember those guys in prayer, and I just wanted to stop, and I saw those guys and wanted honor. And now back to weirdly transition to what's in this box. So huge sports fan. So I am passionate about it, which causes me actually to buy stuff like this. And actually, I got this for free when somebody bought me playoff tickets to the Hawks. That was amazing. Yeah, praise God. It's good. Serve Jesus. Also, I am a complete nerd, and so I do love all of my sci-fi, Marvel things. Come on, amen. Captain America, right? I do have Groot, happens to be in here as well. Yeah, I am Groot. And these are my guys. I really love that kind of stuff. Also, that's not the only nerd thing I am. I am also a huge Star Wars fan. Well, I got R2. R2 is my actual dice, if you can hear. You can't really hear. So he just rolled a 3, so that's my dice that I never use, but I just have it out because it's R2-D2. I mean, of course, right? Right, so I am a complete nerd. I also love the outdoors. I'm passionate about the outdoors. Some of you guys have seen me when I'm up on the Iron Hill Trail. I'll be hiking and all that kind of stuff. So I do have my Georgia State hiking patch right here. This is amazing. And then also, I am an avid fisherman. So here is a This is for the fall of the topwater popper for my fishing that I love to do. I'm passionate about those things. And it's amazing because the things that you're passionate about, right, it causes you to do things, right? It causes action in your life. And one of the other things I'm hugely passionate about my family. I love my wife. She's not in here, but Wesley is not in here, you know. I'm passionate about my family. I love to spend time with my family. I'd rather spend time with my family than, quite honestly, no offense to anybody else on the planet. I love my family. Passionate about my family. But the number one thing, obviously, that I am most passionate about is Jesus, right? So I am so passionate about Jesus. I have a plastic Jesus in my bag. So sometimes he sits on my, you're like, you have a bunch of junk. That's like what you have. So sometimes I sit Jesus on my, this is on my home office. Y'all are like looking at me like I'm crazy. Like,
no,
really no, yes, you are. So, you know what? You need Jesus. Actually, I'm going to take that back. That's my Jesus. So it's okay. It's your own personal Jesus. Nobody got that joke except for me. So what happens when you're a Christian and what happens when you're passionate about Jesus, your Bible, remember the Bibles, and we all have our electric, yeah, one of those, that's exactly right. If you have one, it starts looking like this. Right. This is my war chest Bible. This is my Bible that I had when I was 21, 22 years old, and I first started serving Jesus. And it's just beat up. It wasn't even a real leather because it's, you know, all falling apart and broken. And I don't duct tape my Bible. I put electrical tape. I don't know why I chose electrical. I guess because it was black, I think. And but it's, yes, power. Come on now. It's electric. So what happens when you become a believer, when you're passionate about something, it affects other things. So this Bible is a physical representation of my love for, next week we'll talk about the Word, right? So it's my love for the Word. And so when you're passionate, it causes you, it affects your life, right? So your passion. So when I want to talk about passion, you got to be careful when you talk about passion, because passion has a wide definition of terms, right? But what we want to talk about this morning is passion when it has to do with fervor. Right? When it has to do with enthusiasm. The Bible calls it, he says, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. And so this is not just a passion. I'm not talking about just passion for the things that I love, or passion for maybe even issues that I like to be passionate about. I'm talking about passion, and the title of my message is Passion for Kingdom Living. Right? Passion for the kingdom. I am passionate about living out the kingdom life. And so what happens is when you're passionate about something, it stirs emotions in you, right? So emotions are not bad, right? Everybody say amen. Emotions are, God gave you emotions, right? To enjoy him with, right? To enjoy each other with, enjoy ourselves with. Emotions are really good, right? So when you talk about passion is one of those things that stirs things inside of me, right? So yesterday, I celebrated 31 years. It was 31 years ago that I was in a little Bible study. Well, not a little Bible study. It was like 1,000 teenagers or young adults. And it was that day, 31 years ago, that I fully gave my heart to the Lord and decided this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. 31 years. 31 years of being passionate for the things. Not, I didn't say perfect, right? But passionate for the things of God. And I would never, wouldn't do it differently. Passion for the Lord for 31 years. To live a life of kingdom passion is the life that God has not just called certain people to be, he's called us to do. Life of kingdom passion. And it's not automatic. A life that you live of kingdom passion doesn't come automatically. When you gave your heart to Jesus, if you're in this room and you gave your heart to Jesus, whether it was on a Billy Graham crusade or whether it was a small church, maybe it was a big church, maybe somebody laid hands on you, maybe somebody didn't, maybe you were in your room, maybe you were drunk in a car or whatever you were doing at that moment, you gave your heart to the Lord, you made a decision that day, and what you did with that decision will determine your passion level. And what you did with that decision will determine your passion level. And what actually we'll get to, it determines other things too. So when you're passionate about kingdom things, it's going to affect you in at least three or four different ways. Three ways, and it's going to help you if you add the fourth way. How about that? So the first way it's going to affect you is when you become passionate for the things of the Lord, you become concerned with the things that Jesus is concerned with. When you become, so I'm not talking about anything, I'm talking about being concerned with the things that Jesus was concerned with. John 15 and verse 1, reading out of the CSB, Jesus says this, he says, I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so it will produce more fruit. You were born again to enter into the kingdom of God to produce fruit. And that your fruit would remain, Jesus would later on say. That you produce fruit. If you are connected to him, his life is going to flow through you, and you're going to produce the things that are important to him. What are the things that are important to him? It's making him known. The thing that is most important to God is that people know him through Jesus. Jesus said it like this, go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and help other people know God. There's a lot of stuff that's floating around right out there. Jesus is the life giver. We'll talk about the invitation to Jesus on Easter and what that is, the invitation. In the weeks following, we'll talk about what that actually means, actually acting out in your life, of what that looks like for you as a follower of Jesus. But our call is simple. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's to help other people know him. That's our number one. You are an image bearer of God for a reason. To go into all the world and make him known. Make him known. That's why we give to overseas missions. That's why we give to local missions. That's why we encourage us. I don't know if you know, but we talk about this idea that the gifts, certain people are gifted event, like Dylan. Oh, thank God for Dylan. Because if it wasn't for Dylan, we may have to go win the lost. Because he's doing it. Do you know he's in all these schools every week? You know he's doing Bible studies? You know the first week over at Attaway had 17 kids? Right? But that's not just his job. That's just his way that God's given him. But we're all, as Paul would say, we're all epistles or letters read of all men. Right. The people that you work with. As the old saying goes, you may be the only Jesus that they ever see. Right. So we need to be about making him known. Right? So what else is it going to cause us? Here's a good one. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Jesus said, we're just going to read a bunch of Jesus said this morning. Luke chapter 9 and verse 24. Jesus said this, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. The life of zeal, the life of passion will always be a life of sacrifice. It'll always be a life that you give of yourself. When it's hard, when times are tough, when you don't feel like it. You're like, Pastor David, you must love every day of your life. You must love going to that office every single day. No, I don't. You must see every opportunity, every time somebody steps in, you just must be, oh, it's just the Lord. I'm just serving the Lord. And it's all wonderful and great. No, it's a sacrifice. Amen? It's a sacrifice for you to live the kingdom life. It costs you. Jesus would say it costs you everything. Everything. Right? It'll cost your giving of your time. The two idols in our culture. I wasn't going to say that, but it is our idols in our culture, is money and time. Don't touch either one of those. But Jesus asked for both of them. Matter of fact, he says where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. It's not a secret. It's not a secret what I'm passionate about. It's not a secret. I spend my money on it. I spend my time on it. Tonight, while we're watching, we're all hanging out at game day, I'll be sneaking a peek at the UNC game that's going on, right? It's not obvious, right? Nick is be rooting for the UNC. I got to root for the underdog. I'm sorry. I know. Your time, your bank account. But Jesus told us this. He said, no one who's given up all of these things won't be rewarded in the life to come, and I love it, and then this life. And then this life. I live such a blessed life. You guys, we live such blessed lives because we're givers, right? You cannot, like, prove to God. He says, actually, in Malachi, go ahead. He goes, try me. Test me in this. See if I won't pour out the windows of heaven when you bring all the tithes into the storehouse.
Right.
As you're sacrificially giving.
Right.
See if I won't bless you back. God says, go ahead, give it a shot. It ain't going to happen. You'll never outgive me.
Wow.
God says, you'll never outgive me. Because he keeps the give button pressed all the time.
Wow.
We pick it up every once in a while. He keeps it pressed. It's a sacrifice. Make no mistake. When you give your life for somebody else, it's a sacrifice. When you take on other people's burdens, right? When you carry other people's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the scripture says, it's a sacrifice. When you lay your life down for your family, parents, we know this, right? It's a sacrifice. There's a reward. The third thing. And if you live a life of passion, Christians, you'll be different. You'll be different. You ready? Put your seatbelts on. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And the rest of this message will be actually in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and impurity or greed should not be even heard of among you, as it is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this. Every sexual immoral or impure or greedy person, or who is an idolater, or who is not does not have an inheritance. We'll talk about that, what that means in a minute. An inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ, a kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on. Ooh, it's getting tight. God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. Do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, But now you are light in the world. You're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and in truth. Testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Listen, guys, we are called to walk different. We are called to walk as people of God. To put aside all the things of the world, as it were. The things that the world pursues. The things that the world chases out. Right? We're not called to function as the world functions. We're not called to act as the world acts with retaliation and anger, right? Or immorality. Like God has called us to be, he says in the Old Testament, he says, come out from among them and be separate. Be different. Matter of fact, when God gives all the commands, right? He says that so that, hey, listen, when you go into that new land I'm about to give you, there's going to be a whole lot of nonsense going on in that land. There are going to be child sacrifices. There are going to be all kind of crazy stuff. But let me give you the law so that you can know that how to walk and live different. Come out from among them and be separate. We'll never affect our world if we look like the world. We won't affect our culture if we just look like our culture. We have to be different. And different means a lot of different things. For different for me, when I was in a Christian high school, just meant you couldn't wear long hair. Right? Like, come on. Like, really, that's the things, right? It was like, don't cut your hair and don't listen to rock and roll music. That was it, right? That was our thing, right? And we had debates about Striper. Some of y'all know who that is. I don't know how God could use Striper. Like, understand that those arguments and those things are so minute, small details of the way we're supposed to come out from among other people and be different, right? We're called to be people of light. It's interesting that he doesn't say, not for any other reason, but go back to the first part, first part of the, the context is this. Ephesians chapter 5, back to verse 1. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Wow. That's the context of everything the list of all the other things he said. You want to be different? Be imitator of God. Walk as though Jesus walked. Love the way Jesus loved. Be holy as Jesus lived holy. All of these things. Be imitators of God, right? So that you will shine in the light. You know, just by your own living, because this gets kind of dicey, if I can just be honest. Because then you have people who take these kind of scriptures, and they'll go up in front of concerts and ball games, and they'll hold up these signs, and God hates this, and God hates that. And listen, that's not Jesus. Jesus never did those kind of things.
Right.
Never did those kind of things. Right. Let your light so shine.
Right.
Out of you. Let your light shine that people will see your good works, mm-hmm. not your good signs and your anger about all this stuff, but let your light so shine that they will see your good works and glorify God.
Right?
Remember, I'll go back to that scripture I quoted, that you're a letter read of all people. People are watching you. Amen? We're called to be different. Say,
I'm called
to be different. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to live this radical call of passion for the things God's called us to live? It's going to happen because we're people that are filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, let's go. Verse 15. Then he says this. Pay careful attention then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Oh, by the way, evil days aren't new to our world. Listen, the days we live in, they're bad, right? But they're not as bad. I mean, you think about it in some of our history. About we've had evil times. You know, we're not in World War, maybe. But we're not there yet.
Right?
That was bad. That was real bad. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not in the days that actually when this was written. But go back and read the history of what Paul talks about. Mm-hmm. Talk about the Roman Empire for a second and what that looked like. Right? The days are all, they're going to be evil. You know what's crazy about bad? Did you know that good and bad can coexist in your life at exactly the same time? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of bad things going on. Amen? You know what good things are going on? There's a lot of really good things going on.
Right.
The gospel is exploding south of the equator.
Right, right.
Yep. Remember, this is not Jesus, King of America.
Right, right.
This is King of the world.
Yeah. Right.
Like he is sovereign God over all.
Right.
The gospel is exploding mm-hmm. south of the border. South of, not south of the border, not Mexico. The equator. It's exploding below the equator.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of Christians that live on the planet live below the equator. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the church in China is growing so fast
mm-hmm.
that in the next 10 years, the Chinese government's going to have to figure out what they're going to do with all these Christians? That's the truth, church. Do you know, or sooner, yeah. It's multiplying quick. Did you know that there is no other religion? Did you know there's no other religion on the planet that goes cross-cultural like the gospel? That from every, and Jesus said, he says, I am the tree, and people will come, watch this, from every nation and eat off this tree. Jesus said that as a Middle Eastern. And now what's true, what's happened has happened. What Jesus said would happen has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, don't let people try to tell you that the gospel is for a different time. Because the gospel is going and doing exactly what Jesus said it would do before he was crucified.
Right.
It's happening, church. We're in a tough place. The church in America is in a tough place. But the church in America is not the whole church. Amen?
Yeah.
What that tells us, we got work to do. We got work to do.
Right.
What is our work? Be passionate about what the things that God is passionate about.
Yes.
Go into all the world. Really? Right? When you take groups of people, listen. Don't let the enemy deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk to people. People aren't necessarily shut off to the gospel. They're not.
Right.
They may be shut off to church. But they're not shut off to Jesus. Have conversations with individuals. And true conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We beg, just be imitators of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus is your only shepherd. I'm going to say it. Not your favorite news guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not your favorite preacher.
Yeah.
Jesus is your shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And he's the one who gives us directions.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Come on, let's be the imitators of God and go into all the world. The gospel is still the answer for our nation.
Right.
The gospel is.
Right.
Pay attention, Derek, to how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Verse 16, making the most of your time for the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. How are we going to do this? He tells you. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns. Excuse me, I'm reading out of King James in my mind. So that is what it says. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what's going to cause you to be different? Because when all the crazy stuff that's going on around us, there's something about you that still has a worshipful heart. There's something that inside of you has a heart that goes, my God is so much bigger than all the stuff that's going on. This is not, like Ukraine, that's not surprising to God. My God's bigger than this. God is filling me with peace. All the stuff that goes on, all the immorality that's going on in our nation, it's not too big for God. Because God lives in me. God lives in me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. The passion, the zeal for the things of God has consumed me. Guys, we need to be careful that we don't get consumed with other things. Like, yeah, there's stuff going on, but it all needs to be in the context of who our God is.
Right.
Who He is. And another thing, we get so concerned with the things that we can't change.
Right.
We can't change them. These things that's going on, things around us, you can't change them. Right? Yeah, vote, all the things. Right, okay, yeah, great, wonderful. Wonderful, do it. But not, Jesus would say this, not one bit of your worry is going to give you anything. It's not going to do anything. We're scratching our heads, what are they going to do? Is there going to be World War III? Oh my gosh. Is the gas going to go like $6 a gallon? I know these things are real. I know these things are real. My kids are going to school and the people in the schools are crazy. That's why we teach our kids that the greater one lives inside of them.
Come on.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have the power of the gospel.
Come on.
It's the power of the gospel. We remember it's the power of the gospel. Because a lot of times, when we speak the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart, what happens is I've connected with God. Now I'm getting a God perspective, and what happens is He starts filling me with His Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Actually, like you were drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God controls you and moves you. It causes you to become a different kind of human. Paul tells the church, he says, you're acting like mere humans.
Mm-hmm.
Mere humans is below us. We're called to be godly, filled with the Spirit of God. You know, I can do all things. You know, the people that say, no matter if the gas is high, no matter if this is high, no matter if this expense is going on, I can do all things. I can be at peace, whether I'm poor, the context of that scripture, whether I'm broke, whether I'm rich, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My circumstances do not determine how strong I am. It's God who determines how strong I am. And we have to be people that are filled with the Spirit of God, not filled with the spirit of this world. We're called to be different, and that causes sacrifice. And it causes us to be concerned with the things that Jesus is concerned about. The zeal of the Lord has consumed me. The passion of God has consumed me. Like I said, 31 years ago, yesterday, I gave my life permanently to Him. It's never gone away. Has there been struggles? Yep. Struggles with sin? Yep. Some doubts, yep. But I've never gone back on that decision to give God everything. This is the call for the people of Hope Church to be passionate in their pursuit of the Lord. Passionate of their pursuit of the kingdom things. Passionate with people, with things that concern Jesus. Passionate for winning the lost. Passionate for loving other people. Passionate to let your light so shine in a dark world. Passionate to be different and not be conformed. Don't let the scripture says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. It's going to take effort. It's going to take people who are filled with the Spirit of God, with the powerful Holy Spirit, that greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The greater one lives inside of me. So that no weapon that's fashioned against me will prosper. Confident in this very thing. That I'm being perfected to be the person that God's called me to be. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then here's some really good news. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 11. We'll start with verse 11. I'm going to make it uncomfortable for a minute. He says this. Listen to this idea. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Let the unrighteousness go on in their unrighteousness. Let them do their thing. Let them do their thing. Let the filthy be filthy, still be filthy. But let the righteous go on in righteousness. And let the holy still be holy. Look, Jesus says, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. There is a reward waiting for each one of you in this room. What is the inheritance that you have? It's the reward. What's the inheritance? It's the reward. If you mess up and you sin and you live, are you going to lose your place in heaven? Maybe. But I believe what he's talking about is your reward. It's your reward. Don't miss your reward. And by the way, the greatest reward, the greatest reward, as Nick was talking the other night, the greatest reward is Him. It's to knowing Him, the author, the perfecter of your faith, the one who loves you, the one who believes in you and nobody else will, the one who still pours His love in you, even in the messed up state that sometimes we find ourselves in. The reward is Him. And then He physically rewards you at the end of all things. There's a day coming. Listen, world, there's a reckoning coming. God will and shall one day make all things right. He'll take all the wrong things and make them right. But until then, we're going to occupy, we're going to push back darkness, we're going to be the people that God's called us to be, we're going to act as though God has called us to be, we're going to be imitators to the best of our ability, not making excuses for our nonsense, not making excuses for people that we respect's nonsense, not making excuses when big names fall in stuff. I don't care who it is. It's sad. It's depressing. When you hear about some of the stuff that ministers find themselves in and then fall into, it's sad. Because they affect all these other people. Right? But we have to be people of God. Righteousness has to prevail. Truth has to prevail. And then love those ministers who've fallen back into the, get them back into the right place. Amen? Love people. Honor people. Be zealous for the truth. Be zealous for the things of God. Walk in love. And all that we do, walk in love. So here's the question. How's your zeal? How's your zeal? The question is, do I still love God like this? Like I used to? Does his love for me still bring hot tears to my eyes? Listen, this gospel works. I was with a young man yesterday. And he was starting to go back. He was in a really great place. He started to go back into a dark, really dark kind of place. Be careful what you put in your eyes and your ears. It can happen like that, and it did for him in a moment. Actually, he watched a movie, came out of the movie, and it completely rocked his whole piece. Just be careful. careful. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you be careful. He came out of there, completely different mood immediately. And he got in contact with me. He said, I'm in a dark place. I was like, just pray. No, you go, I don't think you understand. I'm in a really, really bad place. I have thoughts that I haven't thought in a while. So we put him in our car. He was in the back seat. I was just talking to him about how you bind the devil, right? How you stand against darkness. How you confess the words. Like we always say, you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with
words.
Teaching him, trying to encourage him to do it. Still nothing. Just like darkness. Flipped on a worship song. And I watched darkness leave. I watched a guy who was a mess in darkness. I can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. I feel it's all coming back. I feel it's like it's all coming back. He just began to worship God. I looked up in the rearview mirror and just boo-hooing tears. I was like, man, what's wrong? Are you okay? Like, no. So he goes, it's just the power of the Holy Spirit all over me. He told me later, he said, in that moment, all that darkness just left. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of fight, right? It's the power of the desire to look different. It's the desire to say, I'm not going to live in darkness. I'm going to live as a child of the King and of light. Amen? Church, it's time to put apathy away. Apathy has to go. Apathy has to go. I could quote the scripture in Revelations that many of us already know about apathy, hot or cold, you know. Probably won't do that. Probably don't need to with looks on your faces. Like if you're not hot, like if you're hot, God knows exactly what to do with you. If you're cold, God knows exactly what to do with you, right? Let's bring them back to repentance. Let's get them. But if you're lukewarm, God's like, he's kind of with me and kind of not. What do you do with the kind of with me and kind of not? God's call is, come out from among them and be separate. Johan, can you come to the guitar? Let's all stand together. You know how good it is to know that when darkness tries to get on us, how to fight it off. You know how great it is to know that? Because it's going to come. You know how great it is to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, it's not just something that rolls around your head like a good little scripture and you put it up on your wall. But that word lives on the inside of you. That if God be for me, who can be against me? That no weapon that's fashioned against me will prosper. That I can do exactly what God says I can do. I can be the person of God that God's called me to be. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Encouraged when things look discouraging. I can see through the eyes of faith. Because I'm not controlled by what I see. I'm controlled by what I believe.